Good morning. Welcome to Life Word Jesus Ministries. Thank you so much, Pastor Alfreda Bradford, for the opportunity to speak this morning. We want to first give honor to God, who is first and foremost in our lives. He is the provider. He is the progenitor of our faith. He is the reason that we are reconciled, the reason we're ready, the reason we are righteous. God, we owe you everything. And so, God, with that being said, again, thank you for Life Word Jesus Ministries. And thank you for your daughter, your servant, Pastor Alfreda Bradford. This morning, I'll be coming to you from the book of Mark, chapter 9. I bring you greetings from Church Done Different. This is Pastor Jamal Van. Hello, everybody. Glad you're here this morning on this Father's Day. Again, I'll be coming from the book of Mark, chapter 9. We're going to start at verse 1 and read down to about verse 17 or 18. And I'll do my best to breeze through so you are not belabored. But I do think it's important for us to sort of dive into this text. And so let's read. It says in Mark 9, chapter 1, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them to a high mountain where they were alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who are talking with Jesus. Pay attention here. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came down from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And they were coming down. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anybody what they had seen until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Then they kept this matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, why do the teachers of the law say Elijah must come first? Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him. When they came to the other disciples, the large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with the disciples. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought my son to you who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him into the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. O unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I be with you? How long should I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw Jesus and immediately threw the boy into a convulsion, he fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered, it has often thrown him into the water to kill him and into the fire to kill him. But if you can do anything, here it is, take pity on us. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit," he said. "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up to his feet and stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples asked him privately, "Come in, Jesus, why couldn't we drive out the spirit?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." They left that place, passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where he was, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. After 3 days, he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. Father, we thank you for this Father's Day. This text is full of men working out their soul's salvation with fear and trembling. This text is full of opportunity to understand how you work, how your grace works, how your word works, how your creation works. God, speak to us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you endured the reading of a passage of scripture. Give yourselves a hand for that. But I wanted to read it in its entirety because it is in the life of Jesus that we sometimes get a chance to see God. Not all the time, get a chance to see God. But today on Father's Day, I thought this description was important because you have a father who appears in this text. Two fathers who appear in this text. And I want to talk to you about the questions that was asked in this text. Okay. So if you can allow me to establish, if you will, the idea that we are dealing with a fervent, faithful father who is also a fighter. We are dealing with a fervent, faithful fighter who's also a father. Or we're dealing with a father who is fervent, he's faithful, and he's a fighter. I can prove to you that this father in this text is fervent, he's faithful, and he's a fighter. Can we talk about it? So here, the first thing we see in chapter 1, or verse 1 of chapter 9, is Jesus going up to a high mountain. The text says that he takes the disciples up to a high mountain and he is transfigured before them. It is such a momentous occasion, such a enormous moment. It is so overwhelmingly beautiful and so overwhelmingly anointed and so overwhelmingly just filled with the presence of God that Peter does not know what to do. He's so excited and nervous all at the same time that he makes the statement, "I'm glad I'm here. Glad you brought me up here. I know what I should do. I ought to make some tents. I ought to make some shelters." Because Peter thinks that this moment is going to last longer than it does or last forever. Can I just park right here for a second? And let's just be honest, there's moments of worship that we wished last forever. If we're honest, there are moments in our lives, high times in God, times when we get the chance to climb to the mountain of God and worship him, times we get to when heaven and earth stop moving just for a moment, and you can bask in the presence of God. You'll be in prayer and you'll lose yourself in prayer. And if you're honest with yourself, sometimes you just want to stay there. Amen. Can I get a witness from somebody? We just want to stay and worship, stay in prayer, stay in fellowship, stay in service. When is the last time you've been in a real good high worship service where you can really fellowship? At Church Done Different, we really tried to pride ourselves on seeking the face of God and having authentic worship experiences. And here in this text, Peter is been invited into a high level worship experience. Pastor Alfreda Bradford, I'm sure you can relate. I've seen moments when you went in high prayer, high worship. And when you're in that high prayer and high worship, it's interesting because we oftentimes do not want to come out. Peter, James, and John had been invited to a high mountain for a high worship experience. Jesus himself is going to be transfigured before them. He will not be recognizable. It is so different that even Moses and Elijah show up to the service and they're having conversations with Jesus. It is so different that even God himself shows up to the worship service and speaks and affirms his son yet again. I believe in this text, what we're watching, what we're witnessing is a high level, high meeting in the spirit realm, high level meeting in the worship realm, so much so that God himself shows up and lets everybody know, this is my beloved son. He outranks Moses. He outranks Peter. He outranks John. He outranks Elijah. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. He knows the way things are going. I believe that Peter is there. James is there. John is there. They're nervous. They're not sure what's going on. But I think Elijah and Moses are there because they're trying to convince Jesus. Maybe you sure there ain't another way. And his father has to speak and says, no, my son knows what he's doing. My son got this. But it was a high time in worship, a high time where Jesus himself was transfigured because he had to appear to Moses as he's supposed to be, not as his earthly self, but he's appearing to Moses and Elijah as the Messiah, as the Christ, the Kyrios Christos, the one that shines brighter. The text says his raiment was so bright that not anybody in the world, no bleach in all the bleach in all of the worlds could not have made his clothes more whiter than they were. This was a heavenly white. Do you not know when you're caught up to meet him, you'll be clothed in the heavenly white? Can somebody just give a praise to God right fast for the fact that we are promised that one day we shall meet him in the sky and we shall be changed in a twinkling of an eye and there shall be a raiment of white for you. Just give God a quick hand of praise on that. So now, hallelujah, we have in the text, we've established that they coming out of a high worship experience, that Peter, James, and John, Jesus had just came off the mountain of God and they heard the voice of God so much so that Peter was stuck in his tracks. James could not speak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now they're coming down out of the mountain, but they wanted to stay. The first question we got to deal with, y'all, is the question Peter asks. Peter says, I'm glad I'm here. I ought to be building a tent. First question that was asked in this story is, should I be building a tent? Should I be staying here in worship? I want to say to you, child of God, that even in high worship experiences, God says, unfortunately, we're still in this earthly realm and we cannot stay there forever. Many of us struggle because we love experiencing the presence of God and experiencing the favor of God in worship and experiencing the deep intimacy that you can tap into because you got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. But the reality is, God says, okay, we can't stay here forever. Yes, you've chosen the better part, but we can't even stay here forever. Reality is we're going to have to move on to the next phase of the day and the next phase of life and get back to the valley. Every once in a while, God will give you a mountaintop experience, but then we have to go back into the valley. Can we go from the mountain in this text back into the valley, right around verse number 14, we find that we got to go back into the valley. Okay. We got a transition from hearing the voice of God audibly at a high mountain and a high place back into the valley. Before we get back into the valley, Jesus makes it very clear that, listen, we've already seen Elijah. He's already come. The Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected. But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they did everything he wanted to do to him. So right around verse 13, Jesus is telling the disciples, I know you just experienced something mighty in God, but there's something coming that you're going to have to prepare yourself for. There's something coming that's going to topple you if you're not careful. Can I prophesy to some people that we didn't see, that didn't see the pandemic coming, but if you survived it, give God some praise. Come on. If you survived it, give God a hand of praise. Give God a hallelujah for surviving it. But listen. Jesus is warning them, after high times in worship, you got to get ready because something's coming. He said they did what they wanted to do with John. I'm sorry, I'm already telling on myself. They did what they wanted to do with Elijah. The Son of Man must suffer. This meeting, this high time in worship, was to prepare you for what's coming. Oh God. Can I tell somebody that don't always glory and marvel that you cast out the devils. Don't always glory and marvel that you have access to the throne room of God. But marvel that your name has been written with indelible ink that cannot be removed, because after high times in worship, oftentimes you're going to have to go into a valley. Jesus was at a high place in worship. He was baptized by his cousin John. Heaven spoke and the dove descended and God spoke and said, this is my beloved son. And he was then driven into the wilderness. Here we are coming out of the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus is caught up in a high place, high worship with Peter, James, John, Moses, and Elijah show up. And right after that, he's telling them, listen, I'm going to have to be taken and beaten, and I'm going to have to be smitten. The Son of Man shall go down, but he shall raise in. He's telling them, listen, after this high time of worship, I got to go to a lower part. I know I'm not going to do no better than my cousin John did. As soon as they come out of the mountain, the crowd is already gathered. Ain't it funny how after you come out of church, after you come out of a high time in worship, the world didn't stop moving. You come on from revival and you turn on the news and somebody else been gunned down in a part of town. Another house has caught fire. You got 3 voicemails from somebody going through in their marriage. And as soon as you come down out of the time of worship, the crowds are waiting. Yeah. The crowd is waiting and they're saying, what's the argument about? What's all the commotion for? The man speaks up and says, I'm glad you're here, Jesus. I don't know where you were, but I brought my son to you. I brought my son, and my son is struggling bad. Your disciples, your church, your servants, your representatives, your ambassadors are unable to help me. The father, who later will realize is faithful, says, Jesus, I are you the manager? I need to talk to the manager. You ever been in a situation where they didn't get your order right and you want to talk to the manager? You on the phone with Comcast and your bill looks crazy. You know, it ain't shouldn't be this high. You need to talk to the manager. You're on the phone with PG&W and something is wrong and off with your service. And you need to talk to the manager. Right now, the father is saying, I came to this church called Jesus, the People of the Way. And I brought my son because I heard about this ministry around town. But the employees, the staff, the frontline workers are unable to help me. Can I talk? But the manager is not here right now. Where is your manager? Our manager is not here right now. We're not sure when he'll be back. Jesus is up in prayer. Jesus is up in worship. Jesus is up in a high level meeting about the coming crucifixion and the resurrection. And while he's in prayer, while he's in the meeting, while he is talking to the Father, being affirmed and assured that he's on the right track, they're already down in the valley looking for him. Don't think it's strange that when you come out of worship, when you come out of high times in prayer and assignment and catching vision, that the people are already waiting with their problems. They're already waiting with their issues. And sure enough, they're waiting and they're saying, your church was not able to help me. I need to talk to the pastor. I need to talk to the leader. Am I talking good to anybody, Dr. Bradford? They need to talk to you. I don't want to talk to the lay person. I don't want to talk to the deaconess or the deacon. I need to talk to the bishop. I need to talk to the pastor. I got issues with my children. I got issues. And so the pastor has to come from the mountain to the valley because the people are still needy, suffering and hurting, and the work is not yet done. Problem in this text is the disciples ought to have been able to cast this devil out, but they had never met this kind before. What kind are you talking about, Pastor Van? Well, I'm glad you asked. Jesus gives us some context clues, and he says to them, this kind only comes out by prayer. What kind is he referring to? Well, I'm glad you asked. Jesus asked the young man, as he often does, or asked the father who was faithful to bring his son to the prayer, faithful to bring his son to church, faithful to bring his son to get him help. He says, sir, tell me more about the condition. What's going on? He says, well, he gets thrown into the fire and he gets thrown into the water and his spirit tries to kill him. And well, Jesus says, well, tell me this. How long has he been like this? Why does the Messiah, who knows all, ask a context clue like time? How long have you been dealing with this? He says, it's been since he was a boy. It's been early on in his life. Jesus says, that this kind right here only comes out by prayer. See, sometimes you don't really understand it till you work in childcare. When you work in childcare, like I did at one point in my life, when you work in youth ministry and you work in around young kids, you begin to realize that some of these kids got issues from birth, and some of these kids got the issues early. Why is little Johnny touching on little Susie the way he is? Who taught him that? Why is little Billy cussing already? Why is Raheem already lying and stealing? Why is this kid in the corner always talking to himself? What's wrong? So some of these kids, you're already early on got stuff with them. And Jesus says this kind has been in the family for a while. I feel the anointing of God. God is telling somebody it's time to root out a devil that has been in your family for generations. God is saying tonight, God's saying this is the day. This is the moment. This is the hour that Jesus wants to stop by after coming out of high prayer and high worship. He wants to get into the valley and wants to drive out the devil that has been running through your family for the last three generations. God, if you can just prophesy and say today is the day. And so Jesus tells them, how long has he been like this? He's been like this since he was a boy, since he was knee high to a grasshopper. He's been struggling for some time and we cannot seem to get any help. I brought him here to this ministry and they can't seem to help him. And I feel hopeless, but I wanted to talk to the manager. Hey, glory to God. I don't know who you are out there, but I dare you right now to just go ahead and say, I need to talk to the manager. I need to talk to the one, hallelujah, that just came out of worship. Glory to God. I need to talk to the one that just got done talking to the Father. I need to talk to the one that just came out of high prayer. I need to talk to the Urobosi, Yanedabo Koraya. I need to talk to the one that just came out of the mountain. Yeah. I need to talk to one that has power. Is there anybody out there that still believes in going to the mountain of God to bring power from on high to cast out devils? Right now, I prophesy that the enemy be rooted in your life, and that right now, in the name of Jesus, that whatever devil has been trampling upon your family, whatever poverty devil, whatever lust devil, whatever lascivious devil, whatever drunk devil, whatever deaf mute devil, whatever angry devil, whatever backbiting devil, we rebuke you now in the name of the mighty, majestic, miraculous Jesus, Lily of the Valley, bright and morning star, devil terrifier. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So right now, If you receive that, just lift your hands where you are. If you receive that, just say, I receive it in the name of, I receive it. I receive it through my phone. I receive it through the airwaves in the name of Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost right here. Come on, just lift your hands right where you are. Just say, God, I receive it in the name of Jesus. God, I receive it in the name of Jesus. God, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, just worship him. I feel God. I feel God saying, just stop right here. Begin to worship me for the victory that you're receiving. Begin to worship me for the victory you're receiving right now. Because God is saying, I came out of the mountain to see about you. You needed to see the manager. I'm here. I apologize. My disciples are not at the stage right now where they're able to handle it. That's all right. I'm training them. I'm working with them. But I'm here. Tell me what the problem is. My son has been struggling since he was a boy. He's been angry. He's been in and out of jail. But today I hear God saying, devil, I rebuke you. You shall not return. Can you receive that? You shall not return here again. You should never come nigh this house again. Devil, you have to go. You have to leave and leave now. In Jesus' name. Can y'all just worship God right there? There's a lot more I want to share with you, but we got to just take a moment and just tell God, thank you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, there has to be a demarcation moment where Jesus says, this is the day. Enough is enough. But the Father had to be faithful. Not only did the Father be faithful, but the Father had to be fervent. The Father had to press after all the years of seeing his son be possessed of a devil. Oh God. Somebody right now is saying, God, I've watched my child struggle since they were in grade school, God, and I've been able to do nothing. But today, today, I hear God saying, today's the day. Satan, you have to go. You can never return here again. You deaf and mute spirit. You ignorant spirit. You backbiting spirit. You disrespectful spirit. Can you receive your child back today? Can I talk to a parent right now that's been struggling with their child? Can you allow God to heal your child in the spirit today? Can you see your child whole again? See, here is a challenge. Now that the child is whole, the parent has to receive the child again, trusting that what God just did is done. Trusting that what God just did is done. Can you say that with us? What God just did is done. I'm ready to receive my son again in his right mind. Receive my daughter again in her right mind. Receive my grandchild again in their right mind. Receive even myself again in my right mind, because Jesus was just affirmed by his Father. And now that same Jesus that just got affirmed by his Father in the mountain of prayer has to come down and hear the father of a young boy that's struggling with a devil and affirm him, it's done today. It's finished today. You can embrace your child again. Can y'all give God some praise right here? For a faithful father, for a fervent father, for a father who's willing to fight a devil with Jesus to get his son back. Can y'all just worship God right here? He was willing to fight that devil by bringing him to Jesus. And when he couldn't get to Jesus at first and had to go through the disciples, he stayed around waiting, saying, I'm waiting to see the manager. I'm waiting to see the supervisor. I'm waiting to see the CEO. He didn't realize that the supervisor was also the boss of the company, was also the Messiah, was also the owner of the whole world with the devil casting power in his hands. He tells the disciples, he says, this kind only comes out by praying, by fasting. This kind was rooted deep in the soul of the young boy. And I prophesy over every child you have that has struggled with a devil, that got into them when they were young through rape or molestation or discouragement or rejection or misspoken prophecies over their lives and true and mistruth spoke, I rebuke you, Satan. Return back to your mother. Return back to your father. Today it's done. Y'all just give God some praise right there. Come on, this is Pastor Van from Church. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's a good day to say, God, I receive you. If you need your child to receive prayer, it was already released. Just say, I receive it. 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 In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great Father's Day.